In the day's other news, Wall Street extended its rally for a second day, with each of the major stock indexes rising roughly 3%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed 825 points to close at 30,316. The NASDAQ rose 361 points, and the S&P 500 added 112, its biggest day in more than 2 years. Elon Musk has again reversed course and agreed to buy Twitter after months of legal battles. Shareholders already approved the $44 billion deal, but Musk had been trying to back out. Today's decision comes just 2 weeks before a trial was set to begin that sought to compel him to follow through on the agreement. President Biden and Japan's prime minister today discussed next steps following North Korea's longest ever ballistic missile test over Japan. Japanese officials estimate the nuclear-capable missile traveled some 2,800 miles before falling into the Pacific Ocean. North Korea has test-fired about 40 missiles this year. Japan's prime minister condemned the latest provocation.
The ballistic missile firing by North Korea was an outrageous act that was absolutely impermissible. We will respond as soon as possible with the utmost vigilance. I have instructed the government to check for damage caused by falling objects, thoroughly collect and analyze information, and cooperate with related countries.
U.S. and South Korean warplanes also conducted joint military drills today off South Korea's west coast as a show of strength. Ukrainian military forces built on their current momentum in southern Ukraine today. President Volodymyr Zelensky said that they had liberated dozens of settlements this week alone, in spite of Russia's efforts to annex the area. Meanwhile, Russia's upper house rubber-stamped a plan to annex 4 Ukrainian regions. And Ukraine's President Zelensky signed a decree that formally rules out any direct talks with Russia on account of the illegal annexation. In Indonesia, an investigation into a deadly stampede after a soccer match found that delays in unlocking stadium gates contributed to the chaos. At least 131 people died in the crush on Saturday after police fired tear gas, hoping to control rioting fans. Hundreds panicked and tried to escape through narrow exits that could only fit 2 people at a time. Back in this country, a Michigan judge dismissed criminal charges against 7 former state government officials linked to the Flint water crisis. They include 2 former health officials blamed for 9 deaths from Legionnaires' disease. The ruling comes 3 months after the Michigan State Supreme Court said that a 1-judge grand jury had no authority to issue the indictments. Georgia Republican Senate candidate Herschel Walker, who was a staunch abortion rights opponent, has denied a report that he paid for a girlfriend's abortion in 2009. The Daily Beast website published the story after the woman provided a payment receipt for the procedure and a get-well card from Walker. He called the accusation a, quote, flat-out lie. This year's Nobel Prize in Physics was awarded to a trio of scientists for their pioneering work in quantum information science. The recipients include American John Clauser, Alain Aspé of France, and Austrian Anton Zeilinger. Clauser said the news took him by surprise.
I had long ago given stopped holding my breath that I might actually win one. But of course, every scientist wants to win a Nobel Prize, so I don't know what else. I'm very happy to hear, get the news.
Congratulations, and their groundbreaking research has helped to pave the way for a new generation of powerfully encrypted computers and telecommunication systems. And country music icon Loretta Lynn died today at her home in Tennessee. Her music reflected pride in her humble beginnings and painted a picture of her life as a woman and mother in Appalachia with raw honesty. Lynn's biggest hits came in the 1960s and 70s with songs like Coal Miner's Daughter and You Ain't Woman Enough. Loretta Lynn was 90 years old, and we'll have more on her legacy later in the program. Still to come on the NewsHour, journalist Maggie Haberman tries to explain what drives former President Trump in her new book. Vice President Pence's former chief of staff discusses Trump's influence in the Republican Party. An investigation into abuse in women's professional soccer prompts calls for immediate change, plus much more.
This is the PBS NewsHour. from WETA Studios in Washington, and in the West, from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism at Arizona State University.